Good morning. I want you to definitely be praying for me first off before I even get into what we need to look at today. I've just been struggling with this cold that seems to be hanging on for the last couple of weeks, and so sore throat and everything like that, so hopefully it won't affect what we need to do here this morning too bad, but I definitely appreciate your prayers as we go through this. I want you to open up in your Bible to Acts chapter 13. It's going to have it as an introduction verse. You notice on your bulletin here, there's an outline on the back of that of looking at what we're going to see today. At first I thought I was going to just, you know, kind of have the Sunday off because we do the ordination, and I figured Dave would come up and preach and people from our church can hear what a real preacher sounds like, and I'll be able to take it easy. But then David says, no, we're going to have you preach. I'm like, what? All right. So, but no, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to do that. And I thought about it, I think the Lord just really laid on my heart quickly what we needed to go through and just being prepared to preach. So something that, you know, obviously implications as far as myself and dealing with starting a church and even Mike being ordained as pastor. But here's what I want you to understand from the very beginning is that all of us as believers in Christ need to be prepared to preach, to be ready to lay out the truth of the Word of God. It's not just for you know, a few people to be able to have this obligation or responsibility, but it's every believer. The Lord wants to use you to be able to lay out the truth of the Word of God, and you need to be prepared to do that. That's why in this church, in our church, we have a ministry called Discipleship. We're able to equip people in the Word of God to be able to know on the foundation of the faith, to be able to preach, to be able to proclaim those things to people who might have the opportunity to proclaim the truth too, whether it's family members, people that you work with, people you go to school with, people in your neighborhood, different activities you may be involved in. God wants you to be able to build bridges and be able to develop relationships, to be able to lay out the truth of the Word of God. We'll need to be prepared to do that. And so today we'll look at three things in dealing with being prepared to preach as we go to our main text in Proverbs 22. We'll be dealing with humility first and foremost. You've got to have humility to be able to listen to the truth of the Word of God and be able to apply it to your life. And then we'll talk about dependability. It's not depending on other people, but depending on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for you, the direction that He has for you in your life. And then we'll talk about the responsibility of dealing with actually preaching the Word of God. So let's look at Acts chapter 13 because as an introduction, because it really is, I think, the model church for us, as we see in the church of Antioch and what was going on. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 1, it says this: Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And talking about laying hands, they identified with what God was doing in their lives. And there were many, as it says there, prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch, and they were ministering to the Lord. They were serving the Lord. They were preaching the truth of the Word of God. People were growing. And it came to a certain point that the Holy Spirit or God said, Hey, I need to have you separate Barnabas and Saul for work that I've called them to do. And that church body and that leadership recognized that and ordained them and sent them out for the work they needed to do. We commonly know this as their first missionary journey as they started going out in Acts chapter 13. Now, I have that as an introduction, again, because I want you to understand that ordination, again, it's not just an event that obviously we do for pastors and deacons and that sort of thing, but that word ordained means appointment. Just as Barnabas and Saul, that God called them to go somewhere and to do something, each and every one of us, as believers in Christ, has a call in our life, a call to be able to ultimately to reign and to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ as we serve Him. But that, and having that happen, we need to make sure that we're answering the call that He has for us on earth, doing the things that He wants us to do now. There are people that the Lord wants you to minister the truth of the Word of God. Are you prepared to do that? And if you're not, why not? Understanding where you want to, should have a desire to get to a place where you want to teach or preach the truth of the Word of God. Now let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 22, a significant passage in my life, for reasons that most of you I think already know. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll see what we have for us today in God's Word. Father in heaven, I do thank you and praise you for today. I just thank you for just the blessing of being able to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, obviously, my family on a Sunday, just to, again, just to have the fellowship, looking forward to this time with our brothers and sisters in Christ here. It's been a while, and I'm thankful for the people, again, from the Armour area to be able to come up, as well as that is a long drive, to be able to once again hear me preach. But Lord, I pray that you get me out of the way. Lord, that you would take the truth of your word, the things that you prepared to my heart, and to be able to lay those things out clearly and effectively. Lord, that all of us, starting from me, number one, would understand exactly what we need to do. I pray that you convict us in the areas that we need to be convicted. Lord, I pray that you would edify us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire to humble ourselves, to hear your word, to prepare ourselves in the word of God, to apply it to our lives, that we can be used of you to be able to preach the truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22, a very significant passage in my life, and I think that's why I think the Lord has laid it on my heart to be able to preach this message this Sunday, because it was a passage that God used in my life and just having been confirmed to work with David in ministry for these last, been over 10 years now. It's amazing that it's been that long. I was in Panama. It was a nice, you know, day, really humid, and I never was dry, sweating all the time. But as I was reading in Proverbs at that time and in the morning time, and just as I came through this passage, it really confirmed for me that I needed to be working with David in ministry here in Kansas City. And I'm so thankful for that. And we have these verses actually as memory verses when we look at verses 20 and 21, but we're actually starting in verse 17. I think that's really where things start, and where we have this idea of humility. I want to read verses 17 and 18 first in dealing with humility. It says this: "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips." So the first thing we're going to look at is dealing with humility. And we get that because in verse 17 it says, "Bow down thine ear," to bow down. A lot of times it's easy for us to think, especially if we've been saved for a while, that I've been a Christian for a while, and I've been in the Word of God, and I think I know everything about it and everything like that. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long that is, we need to have that attitude of humility. You never get to a place that you just know it all and be able to, I got all the mysteries, I understand everything there is to understand about the Bible, I don't need to read it anymore. You should never get to that place. That is a dangerous place to be. You should always, no matter how long you've been saved or how little you've been saved, that you need to have that humility to bow down and hear the words of the wise. You need to hear the truth of the Word of God. I'm sure we all probably know somebody that thinks they know it all. Sometimes you go to every once in a while, Trish and I maybe we'll go to the Nelson Art Gallery and that sort of thing, or whatever. You come across a person that they just know everything about everything that's in the museum. You know, you overhear them talking. Oh yeah, this is that, and all that. I'm sure we've all have experienced somebody like that. And what do you think about that person? They get annoying. And I've recently had dealt with a couple of people from different, quote-unquote, Christian denominations that exactly seem to think I didn't know anything. And not that hey, you need to listen to all my knowledge and what I know, but it's like I give them the courtesy to lay out what they're saying about the truth of the Word of God, and I expect, okay, now, what about this? Let me ask you about this. No, what you got, that's all wrong. No, let me show you this. Never give me a chance to be able to say anything. And it's like, okay, well, the conversation is done, because it's not really a conversation. You're just telling me everything that you know and not giving me a chance. I mean, we've all have dealt with, I'm sure, people like that. And it's a good reminder for me. It's like, I don't want to be like that. I need to make sure that I humble myself, bow down, and hear the truth of the Word of God. We're in Proverbs. I actually want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I mean, honestly, Solomon is the human writer of the book of Proverbs, and considered one of the wisest people to ever walk the earth, obviously with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks a lot of different proverbs or things to be able to live your life by. And I want you to notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll look down in verse 20 and through 22. Proverbs chapter 4, picking up in verse 20, it says this: "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So Solomon is talking to his son, hey, I need you to attend unto my words, that you pay attention, that you incline your ear unto the things that I'm saying. And obviously we're going to look at this as God the Father saying that to us as his sons and daughters, that we need to be hearing and be able to incline our hearts unto the things that God is showing us through his word. We need to humble ourselves. I'll never forget when I... first church that, I don't say the first church, but the Kansas City Baptist Temple, the church that I went to, I got my training initially as far as their pastor school. And I remember my first time being at that church. It was an evening service, and I'd been saved for, a year, I think, or something like that. I thought I knew some things in the Bible. And it was an evening service, and the pastor was up there preaching, and I remember we were going all over the place in the Word of God. It's like, I wasn't used to, comparing Scripture with Scripture so much. And there are things that I heard that, that he literally said there are things that I thought were true that I learned wrong. He was laying things out, and it's like he was showing in the Word of God, and it's like, I always thought this. Instead of thinking, well, you're wrong and I got it right, it's like, no. Let me see what this says. That's what the Word of God says. Oh, what I believe is wrong. This is what the Word of God says. I need to correct that. And unfortunately, there's times where people, they don't humble themselves when they're confronted with the truth of the Word of God. They say, well, I always believe this way. Well, so-and-so said this, or my family believes this. Does it match the Word of God? Well, no, but I'm still going to... Then how are you going to be ready to preach the Word of God if you are prideful? If you're not humbling yourself, say, hey, this is what the Word of God, I believe it's the Word of God, it says that, and it's different from what I believe. Well, let's throw away what I believe because it was wrong, because this is what the Word of God says. Humble ourselves. I want you to notice, you see that, and really, it really marks the day and age that we do live in. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to look down verses 3 and 4. We'll probably look at this chapter a little bit again in the message, but I want you to see right now verses 3 and 4, because this is what Paul is telling Timothy that you're going to have to deal with. This is what you're going to have to do when you're preaching the Word of God. These are the kind of people that you're going to have to deal with, and it is so true for us today as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." There are going to be people that they are going to literally turn away their ears from the truth. It's like the baby, you're trying to feed them and they don't want the... Well, actually, I can't blame them. How many of you want mashed up carrots and peas squished together and they call that food? I don't know. But you know how it is. They're turning their mouth away. We have to rope them in. Right? Because, they were trying to escape. Because who wants to eat that smashed carrot pea stuff, And they're trying to get the spoon in their mouth, and you're coming up with all the little games. Here's the chew, 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 chew. Or here's the airplane coming into the hangar. And they're like, nah! And it seems crazy, and it seems funny and all that. But how many believers, when they're confronted with God is trying to teach them the truth of the Word of God, the nourishment that they need to be able to grow, and it's like, I don't want to hear it. And it messes with my lifestyle. It messes with my sin that I want to do, or whatever. And they're moving their head, and they don't want to listen to the truth of the Lord God. They turn away their ears from the truth. That's not being humble. It's being prideful. And how can God use you to preach the truth of the Word of God if you do not want to listen to the truth of the Word of God? If you think that you have it all together and you know whatever, God's not going to be able to use you. He wants us to humble ourselves and listen to the truth and apply it to our lives. I want to give you one more reference here before we move on. I want you to actually go back to Philippians chapter 4. Probably one of the, one of the key verse in understanding the doctrine that is to us. I mean, it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It says this, "Those things..." Now, obviously, Paul was either the most conceited man on earth, or I understood that God was using him, all right, to give us the doctrine that we are supposed to be following in the body of Christ. It says this, "Those things which he hath both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you." It is very clear there that the things that the Apostle Paul lays out to us is doctrine to us. And the things that we have seen of Paul, the things that we, as it says there, that we have received and are learned and received and heard and seen in Paul, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're commanded to do. It's not an option. It's not like you feel like it. It's something that we're supposed to do, and we will be held accountable to it someday at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to humble ourselves. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22. Again, in verse 17 it says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto knowledge." I mean, it's not just a matter of just hearing what needs to be done, but you need to apply your heart. In other words, you need to do it. And not enough just to know the Word of God and even understand the Word of God. The wisdom is where you apply the truth of the Word of God. You need to apply. That's what's going to make a difference in your life. That's how you're going to be prepared to be able to preach the truth of the Word of God. You need to humble yourself and apply the truth of the Word of God. Now in verse 18, he goes on and says this, "For it is a pleasant thing if thou teach them within thee. They shall with all be fitted in thy lips." We'll talk about that in a second. But that first phrase, "For it is a pleasant thing if thou teach them within thee." Keeping the truth of the Word of God. Memorizing. Committing it to your heart. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, it's good to be able to. As you're going through the day and dealing with work and things and issues come up, and it's like, it's great to be able to have verses that are there in my heart that I can reflect upon, that I can meditate on, that I can pray about. We need to keep them. It reminds me of young Samuel. If you're able to go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm going to ask you to go there now, but young Samuel, when the Lord reveals himself to him, and it says at the end of that chapter that he did not let any of the words of God fall to the ground. He viewed the Word as precious. He kept it. And I'm not saying this to get on your toes. Again, more than anything, I'm preaching to myself. You guys just get to listen in on what God's dealing with me. But it's one of those things. How often do we hear a message or the time that we spend in the Word of God and then we just let it go? We just let it fall to the ground. We don't actually keep it. We don't guard it. We don't retain it. How often and how many messages have you heard within this last year that you don't even remember necessarily all the different points? Or you just let it go. And again, I'm saying for me. How often have I preached the Word of God? And it's like, you know, how often do I don't even remember or reflect on it or apply it? We got to keep it. If I'm going to be used of God to preach, we got to keep it. I got to memorize it. Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this, but I still want you to go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9, beginning of the second stanza. A psalm of David, I mean, the biggest chapter in the Word of God that deals with the Word of God. And how we should love it, and how should we apply it. I want you to notice what he says here. In Psalm 119, we'll pick it up in verse 9, it says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." It says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And it's interesting, there's the might there. It's like it's not even a guarantee, because why? You've got to apply it. You can memorize a lot of the Word of God, but if you don't apply it, it's not going to do you any good. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That means we better make sure that we're doing what we can to get the Word of God in us, to keep it, to guard it, to have it there. All right? That's how God's going to be able to use us. I want to give you another reference real quick, but this time I want you to go to Luke. Luke chapter 8. The context is the parable of a sower that Jesus is laying out to his disciples and the nation of Israel. There's four different kinds of ground that the sower is throwing seed on. Some is by the wayside, where they never really, obviously, get the Word of God, and Satan steals what they have. There's those that fall upon a stone or a rock, and they grow up, but then yet it gets scorched. But those that fall among the thorns, where they, you know, start, you know, say, listening to the Word of God and doing things, but then the thorns choke them out, which is defined as the cares of this world. There's so many Christians that are not doing anything for the Lord because the things of this world have choked them out. But then there's the seed that falls on the good ground. I want you to notice what it says there in Luke chapter 8, down in verse 15. It says, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word," notice the next phrase, "keep it." And what's the response or what's the result? "And bring forth fruit with patience." An honest and good heart. They hear the word, but they go beyond just hearing the word. They keep it. They guard it. They apply it. The Word of God says, this is what I need to be doing. I'm going to do that. And the result of a life like that, of hearing the Word and keeping the Word, with patience, they bring forth fruit. It's good for us to examine ourselves and see, hey, what fruits in my life? Do I have fruit? Are there people that I've been actively ministering to? Or is there not any fruit there? And if not, why not? Am I really hearing the Word? Am I really keeping the Word like I need to be? Maybe that's why there's not fruit in my life, and maybe I'm not being patient or whatever. You got to examine yourself. See, it's not enough just that you got fire insurance. I say that a lot in the sense of where you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know that when you die, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. But God has so much more for us in the body of Christ, to be able to rule and reign with Him, to be part of the bright wall of eternity. But that's not something that's just a guarantee. All right, once we're saved, we're eternally secure. Yes, don't worry about losing our salvation. But ruling and reigning with Christ is not automatic. It's a matter of doing the things that the Lord would have us to do. Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22 and continue on. We talk about humility. Verse 17 and 18 again. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. In verse 18 it goes on, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. And then this next phrase says, they shall with all be fitted in thy lips. So now we're talking about being able to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And to be able to get to this point, then what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. We need to get pride out of the way, get our flesh out of the way. The Word of God says this, I need to do it. I need to apply it to my life. And it goes on and says, again, keeping it, to be able to, again, talk about memorizing it, talking about being able to apply it to your life. It's a pleasant thing to do that. And you start doing those things, then the next thing is going to take place in verse 18. Then shall, as it says, they shall with all be fitted in thy lips. In other words, you're going to be ready to speak the truth of the Word of God. Let's look at some examples of that. I want you to actually go over to the book of Ezekiel, one of the major prophets. Ezekiel, I want you to look in chapter 3. It says this. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. You jump down to verse 10 and 11. It says this, and moreover he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. In other words, Ezekiel, it's like, it's not your concern in the sense of whether they're going to believe what you're saying or not. What you need to be concerned with, Ezekiel, is eating the truth of the Word of God and being obedient and going and speaking to them. Speak to them that are in captivity. Now, I want to ask you right now, how many people do you know in your life that they are in captivity? Whether they're lost, they're captive to their sin, they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How many people do you know that they are lost? They're die today, their eternity is in hell. They're in captivity. How many people do you know that are like that? Then my next question is, are you ready to speak the truth of the Word of God to them so that is not going to be their destiny? Are you ready? Is the Word of God fitted in your lips to be able to do that? And if not, why not? Maybe I haven't humbled myself. Maybe I'm not keeping that which the Lord has given me. Questions you need to ask yourself. God tells Ezekiel, I need you to eat this. I need you to keep it. I need you to receive it. And then I need you to go and speak. Look, I know that God doesn't have in mind for everyone in here to be a missionary somewhere. I've had the privilege and the opportunity to do that in the country of Canada. I've had that privilege to go other places, and it's been awesome to be able to have that. And now the Lord is sending me to a place that, just to be honest with you, it's like I would have never thought that I would be country preacher. I got my man back there. He's already preparing a fishing lesson for me. My dad tried. My dad's a fisher. I just didn't get that from him. I'm like, I digress. But hey, whatever. I'll learn to fish, I think. I hope. Yeah. If I catch a fish, that'll do me some good. I never catch a fish. That's part of the problem. But anyhow, I need to move on. All right. But as we talk about Ezekiel, as we talk about being ready to preach and being prepared to preach, we have got to make sure that we're doing the first step, humbling ourselves, keeping the truth of the Word of God, and then being ready to proclaim it. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation where God wants us to go, we need to be ready to go. Be prepared to do that no matter where He wants to send you. Whether He, in a sense, is ordaining you to go out somewhere, or ordaining you to stay somewhere, or just whether it's your family, your neighborhood, whatever, that you need to be ready to do this, because it's not just a few people's responsibility in the body of Christ to preach the Word of God. It's every believer's. It's every believer. I want you to think about this. Somebody told you and communicated the truth of the Word of God to you for you to be saved. For you to have been discipled and growing in the Word of God. Somebody communicated that truth to you. And if that didn't happen, where would you be today? Somebody, 20-some-odd years ago or more, came to a Boy Scout camp and shared the gospel with me, and that's when I got saved. All right? If that hadn't happened, I don't know where I'd be today. Yes, God could have used somebody else, but He used a man named Eddie. And he came and he showed me the truth of the Word of God and the gospel. That's when I accepted Christ as my Savior, back in 1988. I don't know where I'd be if that did not take place today. What about you? And also think about, what about the other people in your life that need to know truth? And they need believers. They're saved, but they're not following the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine that's given to us. And God has them in your life for a reason. Are you prepared to preach truth to them? I want you to look back in Proverbs. Back in Proverbs, this time Proverbs chapter 15. Talking about the words being finished to the lips, being ready for you to be able to speak it. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 15, down in verse 28. Says this. It says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. See, the heart, it says that the heart of the righteous studies to answer. It's not just, yeah, we need to read the Word of God, but we need to study the Word of God. That's how you begin. Get prepared to preach. Alright? I mean, as an example, I've been dealing and looking at this message over and over again for the last couple of weeks. And then I'll get up and like, oh, well, whatever comes to mind, the Spirit will help me. Well, I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is helping me, but I need to study before that. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, it says this, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. If I want the Lord to be using His Word through me, I have got to make sure I'm doing my job in humbling myself and hearing the truth of the Word of God, studying the truth of the Word of God, to be able to proclaim it. And the same is true for every believer in Christ. Because we all have this responsibility, not just a select few. I want you to look at one more passage here. I want you to go to Colossians, this time Colossians chapter 4. We'll pick it up in verse 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. With all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Praying for an opportunity to preach the truth. How many of us are doing that? All right? And he goes on and says, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He's in prison over this. He's in prison and he still wants people to pray for him to have open doors in prison. In verse 4 it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. It's an obligation. It's something that we're supposed to be doing. And he goes on. In verse 5 it says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how you ought to answer every man. Doesn't matter what background, doesn't matter what culture it is, that stuff doesn't matter. We should be able to humble humble ourselves to be able to allow God to train us and prepare us in the truth of the Word of God and be ready to speak it no matter what the person is, no matter their background, our conversation seasoned with salt. I'll ask you another question. Now I might be stepping on toes, but it's like, hey, what do you talk about? In your conversations with people, what is the subject matter that most comes up? Is it the Lord? Is it the Word of God? Is it what the Lord's doing in your life? Or is it the weather? How the Chiefs are doing? Glad they're doing well. Trish got me a Chiefs jersey. And of course, it's Jamal Charles. Because obviously my name is Charles. You know, so I'm going to probably wear that as soon as I get home. And it's fine to have those things. Obviously, karate is what I do for a living. I teach martial arts, and there's a lot that I know about martial arts, a lot that I still need to learn. But what is my conversation? What is at the heart of the issue in my heart? Is it my relationship and walk with the Lord? Or is it karate? Or the weather? Or how whatever sport team is doing? What do you most talk about? Be honest with yourself. And if it's not your walk with the Lord, then something needs to change. Because we're supposed to be having conversations and building bridges with people to be able to speak truth to them. Again, I'm not knocking saying it's fine to have recreation and things that stuff you do. I'm not going against that. But it's like, whatever your profession is, whatever your job is, do you know more about it than you do the Lord? And if you do, that's something you need to think about. You really need to consider. We need to go back to Proverbs, lest I never be finished. Proverbs chapter 22. The first part, being prepared to preach, says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted into thy lips. And then verse 19, we start dealing with point 2 and dealing with dependability. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, that we're trusting the Lord. So we need to have the humility to hear the truth of the Word of God and to apply it to our heart to keep it. And to have it ready to be fitted in our lips, be ready to speak. But you know why? A lot of times people don't actually, God gives you an open door, an opportunity to share truth with somebody, and you don't take it because these things come up. What if I did something wrong? What if I mess it up? What if they laugh at me? I can't do that. I don't know how to speak. We get all these excuses that come to our mind of why we can't do what God has commanded us to do. And the problem with that is where you're at. Let me just lay it out. The issue is pride. The middle letter in the word pride is what? I. It focuses on what? I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, what happens if this? And then I. You're not depending on the Lord. You're looking at your flesh. God doesn't want you to do this preaching in the flesh. He wants you to trust Him. And that's why it says that. That's why you have verse 19. I mean, it says that thy trust, after you humbled yourself and you're going to keep the truth of the Word of God and that you're going to be fitted and be ready to speak it, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I'm sure all of you know Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean on him to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Even when you don't even understand why, what's going on or what he wants you to do, you still do it. Why? Because you're not trusting in yourself, the flesh, pride. You're trusting in Him. I say this so often. The greatest problem you've ever had in your life was dying without Christ and going to hell. That is the greatest problem that any man on this planet ever had. Can you think of anything that's worse than spending eternity in hell? I mean, come on, come up with something. There's nothing that compares to being dead in hell. That is the worst problem any human being on this planet will ever have. Yeah, and I know there's tragic things that happen in life. There's tragic things that are going on in the world right now. I thank God I'm not a refugee from Syria or something like that, trying to get my way out of war or my family. I mean, that's a terrible situation. Not being political, just something that I'm sure we can all understand is in the news today. But even how bad that is not worse than an eternity in hell. And if you accept that Jesus Christ is your first and Lord and Savior, then God has saved you from that. So no matter what circumstance that you have in your life now, I think God can take care of it. I remember a time where, some of you have heard this story before, but I was in at UMKC, Go Ruse. I had a class that was like a world literature class, and it was the first day of class, and the teacher did one of those, okay, I want you to write down what your short-term goal is and what your long-term goal is. And at that time, it's like I was preparing to go to the mission field. I knew what my long-range goal was. I knew what my everyday goal was, that I want to be more like Christ. And it's like, we need to write them down, and we're going to stand up and tell the class. First day of class. And I was number three to go. And so first person gets up, second person, I don't know even what they said because I'm shaking. Because I know if I don't say the truth, then I'm going to be shaken a lot. I'm going to get to the judgment seat of Christ. All right? I knew I had to say this. And I got up and turned and faced the class and said, well, my short-term goal is that every day I want to be able to become more like Christ. And my long-term goal is to be a missionary candidate. And I'm saying, well, there it is. I'm the Jesus freak. I'm the Bible threat. There's a whole, going to be a long semester in this class. Oh, my gosh. The person that was right next to me stood up and said much the same thing. It was actually another Christian that was in that class that said similar. There were three of us. And after class, we all got together, had a great old time. And it's like, yes, I was nervous. Yes, I was scared. All that. But instead of just dealing with being a flesh, like, Lord, I got to throw it out there. Trusting God. Don't let your flesh rob you from what God wants to do through you and preaching the Word by saying, well, I can't do this, or I don't know how to speak, or I don't know everything about the Bible. Trust me, I don't know everything about the Bible. Kind of hoping for that question and answer Bible study. David got some questions in there. All right, yeah. I digress. None of us in this room know everything about the Bible. We don't. All right? The issue, and God doesn't expect us to know everything about it. What He expects is for us to be humble, to hear His Word, and to trust Him to speak it. Not only dealing with trusting Him to speak the truth of the Word of God, trusting Him to direct your life, to have Him send you wherever He wants. Wherever He wants. Trusting Him. I mean, it's funny. I was 25 years old when I uprooted my family, my 2-year-old son, to go to Canada. Thought nothing of it. And just like, hey, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be an adventure. A voice adventure. We've had many voice adventures. It's like, it's great living a life, just trusting the Lord, and just be open and willing. Hey, Lord, wherever You want me to do, wherever You want me to go, let's do it. And trusting Him. I don't like to be comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. And that was the thing. I found myself when I was in Canada, the place that was just getting comfortable. You know, it was comfortable to live there. And it's like I knew it was time for us to leave. And it was a hard decision coming back. But I knew that's what we needed to do. And it's like high inside, it's like, yeah, definitely. And it's like, here I am again. All right? Getting ready to be from city preacher to country preacher. All right? And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I got to trust God for the moving, the selling of the house. I don't know how many times I've moved in my life. It's like, again? All right. But that's okay. Because you know what? The Lord will provide. You will get through it. It's like finding jobs down there. All these things I got to take place. It's like, you know what? I need to just continue to trust Him. He has never failed me. I want you to notice what Paul says. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Obviously, this is a tough circumstance physically that was going on as he's ministering the truth of the Word of God, him and his ministry team. I want you to know what he says there. I want you to pick it up in verse 8. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 8. It says this. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. I mean, Paul and his team was like, looking at, man, we may die. And again, they're doing it, serving the Lord. But, so it doesn't matter if we die physically, we've already died to ourselves anyway. And we're trusting in God who has delivered us, who is delivering us, and who will yet deliver us, past, present, and future. If God has brought you through some things, and I know that He has, He can take you through whatever else that's going to be coming your way. I mean, God doesn't have you go somewhere or send you or have you to do something, even if it's to your neighbor across the street. He's going to be there with you. He just wants you to be humble. Hear His word. Apply it to your life. Keep it. Have it on your lips, ready to go. Your conversation seasoned with salt. And trust Him to use you to proclaim the truth. That's what He wants you to do. It's not about you. That's the problem. That we got. Oh, this is happening, and all my... You're just focused on you and your flesh and how you're going to try to do it instead of just trusting God. Moving on, I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter 22. We'll look at humility, verses 17 and 18. We'll look at dependability in verse 19. Verses 20 and 21, look at responsibility. And notice, after these things are coming through, verse 20, and these are familiar verses for us around here, as far as our memory verses, but it says this: Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Yes, He has. The Word of God is excellent. It has counsel. No matter whatever circumstance and situation that may come up in my life or in the life of somebody else, the Word of God has the answer. Excellent things in counsel and knowledge. Since we're in a neighborhood, I want you to actually go back to Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to look down in verse 6. This is where Jesus Christ really is foreshadowed, being personified by wisdom. And I want you to notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 8, down in verse 6. Again, a key word that we've been kind of seeing over and over again here. It says, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. That's what wisdom is going to be able to give. It's excellent things. There are right things. There are just things. I mean, that's the Word of God. Excellent in counsel and knowledge. Again, go back to Proverbs 22. In verse 20 it says, Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Excellent things. And I just want you to pick that up again as we go through and see what Paul says. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 1. I don't have time to lay out all of this at all, but I do want to mention this and show you. Notice what it says down in verses 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 1, down in verse 9. It says, In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Why? That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Till the day of Christ. That's when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, where we give an account of our walk with the Lord. And He wants us to prove the things that are excellent. What are excellent? This was really matched up to where our walk is supposed to be. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That we're supposed to build on the foundation what? Gold, silver, precious stones. Those things are excellent. That gold matches up to our love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? A crown of righteousness. And then that silver matching up to, again, subject of the day, preaching the truth of the Word of God. That silver, being able to proclaim the truth. Paul lays that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And then dealing with that precious stone, the people that we invest the truth of the Word of God in. Those are the things that are excellent. And if we're focusing on those things in this life, then we can be sincere and without offense at the judgment seat of Christ. Because folks, we all have this responsibility. And we all will have the accountability at the judgment seat of Christ of what we've done with our walk with the Lord. And if all we've done as a Christian is just be in the flesh, then you'll have nothing to show at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll all go up in smoke. It'll be too late then. There will be a lot of regret. Oh, I should have. Let's do it now. So Paul says, do. You go back to Proverbs chapter 22. Again, looking at our responsibilities, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge? Verse 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. There are people that are out there, and it may be, you think, few and far between, but there are people that want to hear and need to hear the truth of the Word of God. And it says, again, that you may know the certainty of the words of truth. I mean, that's one thing I can definitely testify. The last 10 years, just being under David's preaching and teaching of the Word of God, he has allowed me to know the certainty of the words of truth, to prepare me to get to a place that I can turn around and answer the words of truth to others. The truth is the Word of God. I mean, a couple of references real quick before we're done. I want you to go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Obviously, Jesus is speaking here. And it says this. As he's praying, you know, dealing and praying for his disciples, he says this: sanctify them through thy truth, and he defines it here, thy word is truth. The Word of God is truth. And to know the certainty of the words of truth. Again, that's why we have discipleship, where people sit down with you one-on-one and make sure you know the certainty of the words of truth, so that you can do what? Turn around and answer the words of truth to others. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Couple of references there. Again, familiar references. Very familiar. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says this in verse 15. It says, study. You've seen that word already again. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not unto men, but unto God. Because that's who you're going to give account to. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Important verse to understand. But here's what I want you to understand, being prepared to preach. Study. Study. When I was a police officer, there was a lot of studying that I had to do. Of studying, of making sure I knew, obviously, my weapons.
The things that I had to carry on my belt and vest every day.
Study of the law. Can't just go and just, oh, I think I can arrest this person, I'm not for sure. No, I need to know the law.
Study. To know the streets in Merriam, Kansas, so I knew where I was going. How to get there. Anyway, that was my prayer. They called my number out, and it's like, okay, Lord, help me to get there, and help me to know what I'm doing when I get there. I mean, that was a constant prayer for me, and especially as a new officer.
A lot of study that I had to do. Took time off, or on my days off, to study. There's times where I had my day off to really know the city, even though I lived in the city. It's not like you go everywhere in the city. I would just give myself addresses and drive around to find them. Because I was going to get tested on that. Study, study, study. And held accountable. Every day on the job, held accountable. Everything that I do in contact with the public, on tape. We had body cameras before it was even a big deal. Now today, we had body cameras a long time ago. It was there. Accountability. All over the place. Every believer in Christ can have way more accountability when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ than what I had to do as a police officer. He sees everything. He knows everything. He has a plan for you. There's people in your life that he has orchestrated so that you're able to do what? Preach the gospel to them. Preach the truth of the Word of God. Are we humbling ourselves? Are we depending and trusting in Him? Understanding the responsibility that we have. Again, I just want to read one more time, verse 21 of Proverbs 22. It says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Are you ready to give an answer? Are you ready? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. When you know you have to do something and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I had no idea that you're going to have an opportunity to share truth. You're ready, in season, out of season. And it says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You got to know the doctrine. You got to study it out. You have to know it. And it's not like God gives you this book and don't help you. He gives you the Spirit of God to help you understand and learn the book. Are you ready to give an answer? Peter even talks the same thing in dealing with the doctrine and to the Jews. Look at it real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Really kind of says much the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 3, down in verse 15, says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So
Let's finish. Are you ready to give an answer? Like,
for our college students,
to change your finals and all that, being in class, I remember, like,
I had no problem sitting in class and the teacher asked me a question if I knew the material.
Oh, yeah, got the answer. No problem. But if I didn't know, oh, please don't call on me.
You know, put your head down. Please don't notice me. Are you ready to give an answer? When I first got saved, I was in college. It was after my freshman year and my sophomore year. And I had friends that all of a sudden I came back in the summer, I was different. And they started asking me questions. And I'm being honest, this question's like, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but let me study that out and I'll get back with you. That's probably one of the greatest things that happened to me was getting a bunch of questions that I didn't know the answer, that I had to go study it out.
So I'd be ready to give an answer the next time I saw them.
Again, folks, you've got to understand being prepared to preach is just not for the pastor, for the deacon in the church.
Every believer in Christ, God wants to use you to preach truth. There are people in your life that are in captivity to sin, to the things of this world, or in case
of, you have brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ, family members, whatever, that they're saved, you know they're saved, but they're not living for the Lord like they need to. And they're in your life for a reason. And God wants to use you. But He can't use you if you don't humble yourself and hear the words of the wise. He can't use you if you don't humble yourself and also keep the truth of the Word of God. To incline your heart to those things. Apply it to your life. He can't use you if you don't want to do that. He can't use you if you don't want to depend and trust in Him. He's not asking you. He doesn't want you to do this in the flesh because it doesn't mean anything. He wants you to trust, depend on Him. And we all have this responsibility. Really, I'll give you one more reference to sum it all up. And you're like, well, how come you just didn't give us that reference at the beginning? We could have been done. Oh, well, I had to go through all this. I prepared it, so I'm going to say it. No. But I want you to go back to Ezra. It doesn't matter where. God is preparing you to stay, preparing you to go. It's the same. You got to be ready. You need to be ready. In Ezra chapter 7, I first actually want you to look at verse 27 and 28. And then we're going to look back at verses 9 and 10, and we'll be done. Ezra chapter 7, verse 27. It says this. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem." Now, Zerubbabel had gone back earlier in the book of Ezra, and it was a contingent of people, and they rebuilt the temple that was broken down. And now Ezra is coming back with a group of people to beautify it, to be able to restore service to that temple. And he goes on in verse 28 and it says, "And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me." Now, this all happened. Why? Because of what Ezra did. Go back to verse 9 now. Ezra chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him." Why was God's hand upon him? Verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Before he got to the place of preaching the truth of the Word of God, teaching those statutes and judgments to Israel, what did he do first? He prepared his heart to seek the Word of God. And the next phrase is so important. And to do it.
It's not enough, folks, to know it, to even understand it, the Word of God. We need to do it. And when we do that, then we have the authority to be able to teach it to others. Understanding, humility, dependability, responsibility. Ezra just sums all that up. Every day, we got to be preparing our heart to speak God's Word and to do it and to apply it, to keep it, to guard it. And make sure that we have the Word of God in our conversation, that we're ready to speak it. Then God will be able to use us.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, I thank you for your Word.
And Lord, and I don't know if this makes sense to anybody or get anything out of it. It's not really for me to know. But I know, Lord, that and entrust that Your Spirit will direct the things of Your Word of God into every individual's heart. And I pray that we would all be open, starting from myself, number one. The things that we're seeing in the Word of God, that and actually do it, to apply it. Lord, I continually need to humble myself to hear Your Word. I need to keep it, to guard it. I need to do it, not let myself just be in the flesh. So I have opportunity to bring You glory by sharing the truth of Your Word with others. Lord, I don't know what all You have in store for me, and I don't know, obviously, everybody in this room what You have in store for, but I know this. You have a course, You have a plan, You have a call for each and every one of us. And I pray that we all be humble enough, that we humble ourselves to be able to hear what You're saying to us through Your Word, to apply it to our lives, to bring You glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.